Wait, before we get into it, I will be remiss. We got to show some love to my homeboy, my family, my brother Dre, PVO Dre, PVO merch, new movement, new clothing line, new concept, new idea, new lifestyle, just positive vibes only, man. Don't come around if you're not contributing to the progression, to the positivity, to the prosperity. We got black tees with the white detail. We got white tees with the black tee detail. You can go get some right now. Go cop some. I'm about to cop some. Christmas is coming up. Thanksgiving is coming up. Sweetest Day is coming up. Somebody's birthday is coming up. Holla at your boy, my man's Dre on the gram. PVO merch. PVOMERCH. Go cop some right now. Now we can get into the episode, baby.
What up, everybody? This is the People's Choice Podcast.
Mic check. Wolf, let me hear you.
Yes, sir. We here.
Let me hear you. You got me.
Yep, stay right there. Just be right there with it.
All right. Hold up.
We ain't going nowhere. Let's make sure everybody is home. Good. That mic going to hear a lot of noise. Turn this up. 1, 2. 1, 2. Get me in there. Yeah. Bro, you be getting on my facial blemishes. I told you that,
so
dog.
Troy in the shower. So I'm sure when he get out, he might explore around over here.
No, I already told him we about to go. Yeah, he up.
What about your other brother? He gone?
He in the basement. He ain't, yeah. He ain't coming up over here. We good?
That's it.
Let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 38 of the People's Choice Podcast. I am your host, TG, as usual. We are back at the round table, and with me right now is Wolf.
Yes, sir.
Wolfington, the young cub, young baby boy.
Weird.
And to my left, our special guest for this episode, man, is if you've been on the timeline, you've seen the name, you've seen the mentions, the story, what's going on here. In the building right now, we have Mr. Raphael Wright. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
You in here?
We in here.
Yeah. We just talked about before the show got started. Right now, you are at 6'2", 240. Trying to get down to 230.
Yeah, according to that 180.
Okay.
I'm trying to get down to 230. I'll be smooth. I think I'll be smooth at 230.
What did you start as when you first started this weight loss?
About 270, like 268, something
and,
like that.
And it was an uncomfortable 268.
Oh, yeah. You feel it in your knees.
Yikes.
You know what I'm saying? You can't walk up the steps. Your stamina is all off.
That's the stuff my wife say, but she's pregnant, so she got some weight on her, too.
Oh, yeah.
Got to sleep different ways.
She caught up.
Yeah, she know what it is. Before we get going, man, shout out to Black Mag. If you're not hip, man, get hip. Shout out to B. Brown, man. The powerful PR agency led by our black women, our black woman, man. So shout out to her, B. Brown, PR on the internets. And then if you haven't, you will see these around, man. So y'all be patient. They come in, People's Choice Podcast, tgthehost.com. Let's get right to it, man. The reason you are here is because I saw your name hit the timeline and I saw the story, right? I actually think I saw an article before I saw you on the timeline. And
because we talked about it in the episode.
Right. A couple episodes ago. Yeah. So, yeah, you just actually happened to hit, like, my to talk about list for an episode because of the article.
Yeah.
And I forget which one I read, but it was pretty much saying how there's a black Detroit native opening up a black-owned grocery store in the city. And it automatically got my attention because we know the Meyer up the street, how long has it been there?
It's been a few years, probably about...
No more than five.
Maybe five.
Maybe six. About that.
Yeah.
And that's the first franchise grocery store in the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had a whole lot of random grocery stores. Well, we used to have a Farmer Jack on Telegraph and 7 Mile. That was Farmer Jack at one point. But now it's just whatever it might be. So, and then the article told me about how the reason you wanted to start this is because you grew up in the city and people were calling it a food desert, but it wasn't. And you ended up developing diabetes as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to us about, you know what I'm saying, how that happened and what made you really get into this kind of industry and this business.
I mean, it happened like most of us. We were routed that way, you know what I'm saying, talking about food and nutrition and all of that. We don't understand that stuff. I didn't understand it either.
Right.
You know, when you're a poor black, poor brown, whatever, in Detroit or whatever big city, it's not cool to eat healthy.
Right.
It ain't cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's only cool to go to McDonald's and you see how they attach our favorite cartoon characters to McDonald's, Burger King, and all that stuff. And then think about your social determinants as well. Like, we in poverty-stricken areas.
Absolutely.
A lot of us don't have cars.
Absolutely.
A lot of us don't have a way to go get good food. So we only really, you know, subscribe to what's around
fast
us food immediately.
Yep.
So walking
convenience.
Up, convenience, you know what I'm saying? I used to, my parents, we used to eat at the gas station or liquor store.
Hot food. Yeah, I'm about to say it.
Hot food out the gas
I used to get danishes for breakfast.
Oh, wait, so are you getting, like, just off-the-shelf food, or are you, like, getting...
I'm getting full courses.
From gas stations?
From the gas station or a liquor store every day when we was little.
And this is the food that they cooking, or, like, just...
This stuff that they not cooking or cooking.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we buying it to go cook it.
So that was a grocery store / restaurant.
All we had.
Yeah.
So you go into that every day, and as a teenager, you just pick up that habit.
Right.
So, you know, I'm walking to school or catching the bus. I'm not, you know, thinking about getting some oatmeal or, you know, you see the school offering that, but you're like, man,
I ain't messing with it. Yeah.
That shit,
it's nasty.
I'm going to go get this Snickers.
Yeah, lame.
Yeah, I'm going to get this juice and all of that. And, you know, I became a victim. You know what I'm saying? 19.
That cycle.
I wasn't old enough to, you know, legally get a drink, but I'm, you know, shooting myself with a needle. You know what I'm saying? And it's just how most of us grow up. You know
it
what
happens.
This is what it is.
What side of the city are you from?
I'm from the east side.
Born and raised.
And
what school did you go to? High school, middle school?
I went to King High School, middle school. I bounced around a bit. I went to Foch. That's no. That's Southeastern now. I went to Elmdale Middle School. I went to Scripps. That's no longer open too. That's all east side schools. So, DPS baby, for sure.
For sure. Speaking of babies, do you have any?
I got one.
One, how old, he or she?
18 months.
18, baby
girl.
Baby girl, congratulations.
Yeah, hey, congrats.
Pray for
18 months. Tell me about it. I know.
Man, yeah.
I got my daughter be 4 this year, so this is the easy part. Trust me. I thought 3 and 4 was going to be easy. I was scared for like 13, 14, 15. My daughter 3, and she gives me a run for my money. Zach saw that shit last night. My daughter don't play no games.
Too fast.
Yeah,
they're
so
fast. They quick.
Yeah, you might as well get ready for it.
They adventurous.
They also realize how quick I have this nigga wrapped around my finger.
Yeah, I've been trying to fight that too.
Don't worry about it. Just let it happen.
I've been trying to fight it to keep it stern.
And it's your first kid?
It's my first.
Yeah, just give her everything.
I got a dog, you know, before her, so that's my first.
You got a boy dog?
Got a boy dog.
Oh, well, yeah, that's your homie, though.
Yeah.
That's your homie. How long you got your dog?
He 8, so I had him for 8 years.
Okay.
So that's my first baby, then my first
baby.
Baby.
Well, we waiting on you to have a kid, man. I know you've been trying to get on this wave, man.
Look,
are you shooting blanks?
It ain't that.
How
man.
Do you know?
Because
shorties
ain't trying to let me. They ain't trying to let it happen. You
so
feel
yo, you ain't empty no clips.
I'm emptying the clips. It's just it's a bulletproof vest at the door already.
Yikes.
Like
I mean,
can't
you do
get
it,
in.
Make sure you stay with the person you're doing it with.
Ooh.
That's where most of us.
That's another thing. That's why I'm chilling.
Are you with?
Nah.
Okay. Which is why you saying it.
That's yeah.
I mean, you can very effectively co-parent though.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying, if y'all can realize like that this is about the baby and not us, you can absolutely effectively co-parent.
That's always easier said than done.
Absolutely, because I don't know. I've been with my child's mother, girlfriend, now wife, the whole ride. So,
right.
But I mean, I'm seeing. You know what I'm saying? It's a newer thing where people are just kind of agreeing to have a baby and raise them together.
Yeah, that wasn't our plan.
No, it's normally not. Most people's in you 30 years old.
I'm 30.
You come up in an era where you trying to not have another child grow up in a single parent home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Whether you did or you didn't, that was our generation. I remember when I felt like an anomaly because my parents were still married.
Yeah.
And then they end up eventually getting divorced and I felt normal. Like I felt like I
you
could relate
like, okay,
to everybody
like,
else.
I'm
like, but shit, this is kind of weird. Now that my parents married still and everybody else is losing, you know what I'm saying? They going to their mama house for the weekend type
right.
shit. So, back to the grocery store. Cause we got a lot. The grocery store is not all you're doing.
No.
You got the car shop, mechanics. Wait, so before we go, where are you trying to put this grocery store at? Where is this?
East, well, the quick answer is wherever home calls.
Okay.
But strategically where we have, my team and I have worked on the east side in the Island View neighborhood.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's the greater Mac, that's the villages, all of that. Right now we got the prototype bodega being built up now, and that's on Linwood on the west side.
Which is not far from where we are right now, so... That's about and then you got like a barbershop unit over there.
It's a mixed use space. It's a barbershop, beauty salon, the bodega, convenience stores in front, and then it's 4 apartment units above it.
And right now, all you have is
the 1,500 square feet bodega store,
which is where, from what we talked about before, you're gonna put some food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna show what this whole smart tech driven food store looks like there, while still activating good food over there, because although the city itself isn't a desert, that's a desert over there.
Absolutely. Because there's a number of liquor stores over there.
There's nothing. Yeah. But
it's a Little
stores.
Caesars across the street. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And it's one store. It's one supermarket over there. But just to put in perspective how it is a desert, it's a mile away from where our location is. People literally walk all the way there. Walk a mile.
Past where you are.
Walk past where we are. Walk right. All the way a mile, carrying about $60, $70 worth of groceries all the way back. I'm taking pictures of people every day. Walking back with bags, just carrying.
And the worst part is, for anybody who lives in a home with multiple people, $67 worth of groceries won't last long.
It won't last long. But it's heavy in that immediate, you know what I'm saying, hour, 2 hours. You walk.
Right.
Yeah.
And I say that to say you're going to have to go back and do it again relatively soon.
Yep.
Either as soon as the food is gone or as soon as you have the money to go get another $70 worth of groceries.
That's 2-3 trips a week.
And what's the goal with the grocery store, the car shop? Your ultimate goal is to do what with this?
Make the hood great again. It's all integrated into this one mission of just reinvesting in the community,
right?
Restoring community,
right?
That's something that I don't think that we realize that we're doing as entrepreneurs or as community leaders, educators. We're investing in the community. You know what I'm saying? When we put something out there, whether it's teaching the kids something, whether it's providing a job, teaching a skill, whatever, right. We're putting something in the community. Put it back where you're from, and that's what all this is about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I wanted to do this by myself, I could. I have for years, and I've been all right. Now it's time to put other people in position and create other opportunities.
What was the moment that really kind of clicked for you and you were like, you know what? I got to start adding other people. I got to add the community members and really start teaching the children. When did this happen for you?
I don't even really know. I know it was always in my heart. And everything I've ever done always moved like that. If I wanna put a time on it, I wanna say when I was graduating college, I woke up.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I always moved different, but I really woke up and started to see, like, one, I got power, and like, if I could, because at that time I was trapping. So it was like.
In college?
Since high school.
Okay.
And going into college, I'm like, if I can move people to do this. You know what I'm saying? We had houses, we was doing shit. I'm like, if I can move people to do this, I definitely can do something else.
Do something better.
So, and then, you know, I'm thinking about, what if I get caught? I'm in college. You know, I'm the only baby my parents ever had to get a degree. I'm like, if I fuck that up, the shame and the disappointment and all that. So, I want to say, I guess I woke up in college. And that's when I really started to put those pieces in play and start making moves about a lot differently and making it about people and not just... You know, myself with a few other people involved, and make it a widespread thing.
What school did you go to?
I went to Mary Grove.
Up the street.
RIP Mary Grove.
Yeah, it's gone. Because that was a couple years ago. They had a whole student body, and they was like, you know what? This is the last semester that you can go here because we are no longer.
Yeah, I had a whole program. We was finna roll out there, and it got caboose right when
the news was sore. It was like, if you're in school at Mary Grove, they was like, yo.
They just finish up right now and figure out where you're about to go.
It was before the fall semester, so this was a couple of weeks in the summer. Everybody getting ready.
And
it was
right before school was about to start.
You getting ready to go to school and shit. Damn.
And Mary Grove was a private college, ain't it?
It's a private school.
Yeah, it cost a shitload of money.
It was the Ivy League of Detroit. Yeah. People from New York. And
people was coming in.
People from other states.
For very concentrated.
Yeah. The Northeast would come in Mary Grove. They get ready to fly out and drive out. And then they get that. I don't even think they sent letters. It was just.
It was like an article. Yeah.
It was crazy.
So a nigga pull up like, damn, I wonder why I'm the first person here.
The only person here for 3 hours. Like, I ain't got no email from professor. Nothing.
Shut that boy down.
And what year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2012.
And what'd you get your degree in?
Business.
And so right now you just got a bachelor's?
I got a bachelor's, yo.
In business. Do you plan on going back to get an MBA?
I went back, actually, but. My bachelor's, I should have went for something else because I was doing business while I was in school.
Yeah.
And then once I started to chase my MBA, I had a full-time business. I was a full-time entrepreneur at that time.
And did you need an MBA at that point?
I didn't need a bachelor's at that point, so I definitely didn't need an MBA. Exactly. So exactly. I went again, you know, thinking the world is telling me
supposed
this.
To do. Absolutely.
I need to do this. Same I need to go out week. There. Yeah. So I'm doing it, and yeah, maybe this will make me. You know, I remember this one of my female friends was kind of shitting on what I was doing, and it was just kind of like, you know, you need that degree because the way y'all moving, and this we in a car business too, so it's like
volatile.
It's volatile, but it's dirty, and it's like, you know, when I go to the dealership, it's clean, and it's just, maybe you should go to school, and I'm like, maybe I should. Knowing that was dumb, I'm like, we making money, well, I'm like, it wasn't, and nobody else is complaining, but again, we had to get to that point, but I just got psyched into thinking it made sense.
The school was what you needed. Yep,
went in, I'm like, took more debt, wasted more time, and I just dropped out, like, nah, I don't need this.
That's it's interesting that this has been a theme because that's naturally on these last few episodes.
That's the fact.
Because I'm at a point where I'm trying to give my children the option to go to college.
Yeah.
I don't want to try to train them to feel like they have to go to college. Yeah. One, because I got almost $80,000 in student loans right now. Right. And every time I pay these niggas, I just get more and more sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm in the same boat.
More and more sad, you know. And then I realize I probably spent 2.5 to 3 years, give or take, taking classes about shit I'll never talk about again in my entire life.
Yeah.
Ever. I took a class on bugs. I had to do a lab on bugs.
Yeah.
I had a science class about fucking dinosaurs.
Yeah.
The same shit that they taught us in elementary school, I took a college course on it.
Mm-hmm.
Paid for it. Read about the shit. Wrote papers about the shit. The evolutionary shit. Like, I grew up in church all my life. I've literally been in science classes faking it all my life.
Right?
So my goal is to get them to a point where they do decide, you know what, I like cars. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I like food. Let me figure out something that I can do from day one that can really set me up to do what I want to do instead of going to college spending money that nobody's ever going to see again.
Yeah, but we got to blame our parents for where we ended up, though, because they only taught us plant, post office, college.
That's the city's dream right there.
That's what they – if you between that – I want to say like 25 to 30, maybe 32, 33.
Yeah.
That's what your parents.
You got parents and uncles and aunts too, yeah.
You got to go to the plant. You got to go to college, or you got to, you know.
Get a job with the government. Yeah. And was we talk about the same shit with CP, and it's really just like they didn't do that with the intent for us to come out and be like, I just wasted 5-6 years of my life in college. But what happened was we literally forget how not so far away from slavery we are removed.
Yeah.
My grandparents, my grandmother, I think she told me the highest she went in school was maybe like 6th or 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
The highest my grandfather went, my dad's parents, the highest he went was 4th grade.
Yeah, my father, he had a 4th grade education.
And my grandfather came, they both came from Mississippi. They came up here to work at the plants, Fords and all of that. Now, eventually my granddad ended up owning like gas stations and little mechanic shops out in Ipsy. But my grandmother has no education,
yeah,
right? But lived a long, great life. Had 10 kids, billion grandkids, like generations are going on. But they were telling our parents, go to the military or go to college,
mm-hmm,
right? Our parents probably didn't go to college, right? You know what I'm saying? My mom didn't get a college degree until like I was in high school, middle school when we went to her graduation. Then she got her JD a couple years ago, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. But my dad didn't go to college till like 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
But he's been a chef my entire life.
Right.
He's made his living, you know what I'm saying, no college.
Mm-hmm.
And because my mom went so late in her life, in her mind, she's still feeling like you need college.
Yeah.
Because she was going to elevate professionally.
Right. They got psyched out too, though, because everything you described, and I studied all of this. I mean, I don't want to go into this grocery store community development realm that I'm in now without understanding the history of things. Like,
absolutely,
during our parents' time, that's when you started seeing high spikes of teenage pregnancies.
Yep.
You start seeing
drugs,
rebellious teens and young folks saying, you know, I don't want to do what, and you see it every generation.
Absolutely.
I don't want to do what my parents did.
Absolutely.
So our parents saw their parents, our grandparents doing the shucking and jiving and all that. Fuck that. I don't want to do that. So they started fucking, you know, without being married. They started doing it young, right, and then they started having kids.
Right, they stopped going to church.
So they end up right back in the same cycle of, I got to get this job. I may not want this job, but I'm going to get it.
You got to make it work.
So they ended up in the plant. Yeah. They ended up in the government. They ended up in the post office. But then, guess what? Computers come. So it's like, you got to go to school.
To learn how to use a computer.
You got to learn how to use a computer, or you're going to be replaced by one. But they still routed us wrong. So it's like, again, it's their fault, but it's kind of not. We've just been put into positions that no other human has been put into in America.
Right.
Period. You know what I'm saying? I mean, besides
the Native, by we, you mean the urban area, the black and brown people.
Urban black and brown people, besides the Native Americans.
Right.
No one has been put into these type of predicaments.
Systematically.
It's an agenda.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
It's an agenda, and it's a fact that we have been put in strenuous conditions and situations that under any normal circumstance, you wouldn't make the decisions that you make. You wouldn't take the drugs you take. We wouldn't eat the food we eat.
Right.
We wouldn't do the stuff that we do if we were in a sounder mind. And then it's even funnier because once we get all of that stuff,
we go back to the,
we go back to it, but we do it to an extreme.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just crazy. But in our
survival mode is kicked in.
Yeah.
It's survival mode.
It's crazy.
And
it's crazy.
Like you said, we're one of the very few populations in this country who are born and live a full life in survival mode.
Born in a disadvantage.
There's never any coasting. There's never any comfort. There's never any like, okay, we good now. Every now and then you get one member of the family that can make it out to the suburbs, get the kids in a better system, and they plan the extracurriculars, pay to play is $200 a sport per kid, you know, that kind of shit. But the majority of people who come up in an urban area live and die in and by that urban area.
Most of us.
So it's crazy because I saw you tweet about we lost Nipsey Hussle last week, right?
Yeah.
And in my life, I've never seen a death like this really take the toll on a peer group like this. You know what I'm saying? Tupac and Biggie died, I was 4 or 5 years old, right? So I couldn't really see. And of course, there was no Twitter or Instagram when that happened. Yeah. But over this last 6 or 7 days, man, the Explore page has not stopped being full of pictures of him.
Because that shit's steep, bro.
The timeline has not stopped about, damn, that really happened. What did Nipsey do and how did he do it that, because you said something about how he really kind of, you was fucking with Nip.
Heavy.
And the shit that he was saying was really pushing you further to really keep it going. And what you're doing here in the city is very similar to what he did in his neighborhood. The store, the strip mall. He was getting ready to build up apartments and some STEM programs for the young children in the city. Him and Puma had just redid the basketball court not long ago, and gave place, gave the people a place to go, right? Like, you hire people with criminal backgrounds, and he hired felons, right? You're trying to teach the students about the food and the health and the nutrition, that thing. How did he do it, and what did he do for you? Some of the songs, the lyrics, or just the shit that he did that kind of was like, you know what? Let's keep going.
It was more than what he was saying. It was what he was doing. Like, I feel like why our parents was affected by Tupac, because Tupac was talking that shit.
Right.
Like, regardless of, you know, we could be hypercritical of, like, a lot of bad decisions of Mr. Shakur. He was talking that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was really, and I feel like if he didn't die so prematurely, he would have eventually got there to doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
But Nipsey was doing it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was.
From day one.
That's
he was
true.
Doing
That's
it. From day one. Like, he was, you know what I'm saying? Everything that Pac had talked about, he was really doing it. You know what I'm saying? And he was doing it at an independent level. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? Like, we see the impact of Roc Nation and what Jay-Z doing. But Jay-Z is rivaling a big-time corporation with Roc Nation.
Right.
Nip was in that position.
Yeah.
It was still doing it. You know what I'm saying? I remember, and it hit me particularly hard because my second book, and I do this every book release, is that I put up 20 books to the side, and I'm going to be like, you know what, I'm going to send this to whoever.
Whoever, right.
So I sent one to the Marathon store, you know, CC to Nip. He followed me on Instagram like 20 minutes after. And I'm checking the tracking number on these deliveries. You know what I'm saying? I send it to everybody. And I send it to the Marathon store. I see that they got delivered. Nigga followed me.
Dang.
That's crazy.
All these people all his people DMing me and shit like, man, we fucking with that book. We gonna check in.
That's damn, wild.
Fuck with it when we get to the D and all this shit. Like, you 10 years ahead of your time. I'm hearing this from his people. It's right. My second book.
Yeah.
And I'm, this my new package with my new book. I got my list. You know what I'm saying? I got my people.
I'm sending that shit.
I got this little paint pen. I'm, you know, autographing the book. Nip on that list. He the first person.
On that list. Right.
He the first person for on this that book. List. For this book. First person on this list. I go to the gas station, come back, my Twitter banging. Going like, he got shot. And I'm like, and I had Twitter like, he gonna make it through.
Oh, yeah. Just that was like, everybody's first
that's everybody. It's like your first thought.
That was everybody's first make tweet, it, bro.
And he died, and defeated don't even describe the feeling, you know what I'm saying? Like, beyond defeated, beyond, I just lost all motivation at that point. But it's what he was doing in California, because Detroit is a California,
the South, Compton. Yeah, the Watts.
The Comptons, the Crenshaws and all of that. The, you know, when you go to Atlanta, the different neighborhoods in Atlanta. Everywhere in the United States, you have a Detroit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they can say the equivalent to them.
Right.
Whatever. You got a Slauson Ave. You got a 7 mile and a 6 mile. Everywhere. And Chalmers. Yeah, you got that for
everywhere.
Sure.
So, to see, and the nigga never compromised one bit.
Who he was.
Tattoos on his face, still wearing blue braids.
Absolutely.
And he at the table with these people. And that's why I felt that connection, because I'm in that same boat here. It's not, I don't have a following and all of that, but I'm at the table with these people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't compromise or how I don't change my language or how I feel.
Absolutely.
This is what my people need. Now, I don't disrespect or I don't take away from y'all agenda. Y'all want to make money. I want to make money, too. But we need to do this. We need to make sure that there's an educational element. We need to make sure there's a reinvestment channel for some social activities. All of the stuff that Nipsey, you know, two, three years ahead of me doing.
Yep.
I was in that same boat. And to see that, like, one, he acknowledged it, not on, you know, technology a motherfucker where we don't, you know what I'm saying, we don't have to send a telegram or nothing. You can just DM somebody. Or
and your whole life changed, right?
Yeah. Maybe they could came across their timeline, they see, and they fuck with it.
Yeah, whole life changed right
and
there.
That was the connection that Nipsey had with everybody, where we just got a different type of technology. We can see it in real time.
Nobody's really far away.
Never.
Nobody's far away.
We can see it in real time. We knew what that store looked like when it was nothing.
Yeah.
We seen it be built up when it became.
We saw the store when it wasn't his.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
His videos, his verses. Yeah. We knew that
he was
area.
Literally in that area all the time. Yeah. All the time.
Like him and his brother say, we got arrested here. We sold shirts here. Yeah. We got raided here. We seen niggas die here. And it's almost poetic.
Yeah.
That's where he went. And when this shit first happened, dog, here's the crazy part. Michigan State was 8 seconds away from going to the Final Four.
Yep.
And we at the crib, turned. We beat Duke, like, just the monsters of the college game right now. And you text me, Wolf, and was like, yo, they saying Nip got shot 6 times. You know what I'm saying? I sent Mario a text. I texted the group chat. I told my wife. But we had 8 seconds before we, and literally everybody was like, yo.
And I'm like, hold on. Yeah.
We got to win this game, and then we about to go check.
And we're going to check in on
if this shit is happening.
Yeah.
And within that 8 seconds, the news went from L.A. to Detroit.
The highs of the highs.
To New York.
To the lows of the lows.
By the time that game went off, could not even be happy
that Michigan State
was headed to the Final Four, because now the whole timeline is videos of the shit that happened. And everybody's like, we can't really tell that's him. We not sure that's him. He gonna make it. Like, who's validated there that's gonna confirm that this is him? What, you know what I'm saying? This shit is happening fast. And niggas got to drop in tears.
And that wasn't real. Oh no, I cried.
Niggas were dropping tears. Like,
that shit, nigga, like, you feel that it's a real loss, bro.
Me and my wife,
like, nigga, like,
didn't talk the rest of the night. It was so fucked up. Like, not because we was mad at each other, but we was just in a moment.
Yeah.
Like, I went upstairs and just sat on my floor in my room and was like, yo, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
And one of the first things I said was, what fucks me up the most is when young children lose fathers.
Yeah.
When young children who don't know what's going on in the world lose their father. And Nip was a nigga to me who was almost untouchable. His brother said it to L.A. Times. He said, bro, Nip will walk through any hood at any time of the day, neck full of jewelry, watch, bracelet, rings on, no security.
Because it's like, who the fuck would want to fuck with Nip?
Yeah, and that's why I was...
That's what pissed me. Yeah, you know...
That's where my balloon got let out. Because it's like, again, being selfish, thinking about myself, I'm like, that could be any of us. Mm-hmm. These leaders, and we look at time again, time and history haven't been friendly to the community leaders.
And history repeats itself.
It has, it has history not. History repeats itself. And it's continuing.
It will,
Martin Luther King, and people's getting upset when I'm comparing the two. I'm like... What you felt in the 60s, grandma, pops, mom. Yeah,
Malcolm X.
With Malcolm X, Mega Evers, and everybody from the 60s. The Emmett Till Panthers,
stories,
The Emmett Tills.
Everything.
What y'all felt in the 70s with the Panthers and
saying that that could be my son, my brother, with my dad.
Y'all felt with Pac and Biggie.
This is
what we feel.
That's an easy relation right there.
It's a linear equivalent.
It's so wild. It's so crazy. And it's still hard for me to be like a nigga that he knew. And we know it's so regular that it's normally a nigga who's close, right?
That's really how it always be.
It's almost seldom that it's just some random nigga, right?
Yeah.
But the story, and I ain't going to go too much in detail because, like I said, it's been a tough week for us. But like I said, what he did and what he was doing is almost parallel to what you're doing in an attempt to make the hood back to flourishing, man, bringing Detroit back, bringing the black owned business back. I just put on the timeline the other day. I grew up in the suburbs. So the concept and the thought of being in an area where everything is ran by people that look like me is like one, no, but the other part is like, yo, that's dope as fuck. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? My schools, I didn't have one black teacher, like from like fourth grade to high school.
Yeah, and you know when I bring up this agenda, you know, so many of us say it's the first black owned grocery store. I gotta correct them, but then I think about it, and I'm like, without being disrespectful to the other black owned grocers of our past in this generation and in this time, this is the first.
It's our first.
That just puts everything back into perspective, which, again, defeats me even more because it's like, he did know dude. He did. Dude was in videos with
him. Yeah, it's crazy.
Right to his right.
Same exact set.
And it's like, you don't do that to Nip, but that's the mindset that so many of us young folks is on.
Big time hater shit.
We don't value leaders, and a life is a life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a sober truth too, because I've seen people say, you know, this one hit different. We acknowledging that this shit happened every day. It happened before the day before. Somebody got murdered the day before Nipsey got murdered. Uh-huh. Somebody got murdered the next day. We acknowledging that this is a everyday occurrence in our community, but nobody cares. It's like nobody. Whenever this argument happened with Nip and old dude, whatever, dude, you didn't think one second like this nigga mean too much to a lot of people.
To everybody. In front of his fucking store.
At home.
In the city.
Yeah, at home.
Like Boosie said, bro, most niggas die in they hood.
Yeah.
It's your own niggas.
You didn't think about that one time when you went back home, like... I'm killing Nip. I'm about to kill
neighborhood Nip. Nipsey.
I'm about to kill neighborhood Nip.
Nigga got a song with YG with the bandanas tied. Like
I'm about to kill a leader.
Yeah.
I'm about to kill a leader. It's always a nobody that do it.
It's always a nigga.
Martin Luther King.
Yeah, just some random
nobody.
Niggas be mad, bro.
This nigga got killed by a nobody.
Yeah, it's tough. This is tough.
But the marathon continues. Always.
Yeah, shit don't stop, man. Legit. You know.
The proof right here.
You start listening to the songs, and a lot of different bars start to really stick to your heart now.
Yeah, it hurt too.
Because before this happened, Dedication was my shit.
Yeah.
Since then, Dedication has elevated to like a, this is like a spiritual ritual song right now.
Yeah, that went to my number one favorite. It wasn't at first. It was in my top three.
On that album?
On that album.
Yeah.
It was my number one.
Man, that shit is... And it's so simple.
Yeah.
It's shit that you hear all the time, man. But like you said, when you see the fact that he wasn't just saying, I'm about to do, I'm thinking about it. He was doing it.
Yeah.
And his brother was like, yo, he would get money and I would be ready to go get some new jewelry, some new cars. And he like, no. It's a building over there that's for sale. You know what I'm saying? All these niggas walking up down the street can't work. Mm-hmm. We need to get them jobs. Yeah. We done trapped out this parking lot, sold t-shirts, went to jail, got arrested, been shot at right here. Everybody's here. Yeah. We ain't got to go nowhere. And that's what you're doing. Yeah, you don't leave the east side.
Yeah, that was my first. But that was my first mindset when we opened up our first car lot. You felt this gratifying. We was gratifying, like, man, we done really turned a new leaf in life. The lease situation is that we don't lease in nothing. We got a deed. It's ours. But then the social glass ceiling hit because my partner, he riding a Bentley. And I'm like, I want to so bad. But I stay 5 minutes from this motherfucker. We on East Warren. Yeah. He in the burbs. I'm like, I stay 5 minutes from this bitch. If I up a Bentley,
it's a wrap.
Might not see me no more. It's a wrap. I'm thinking about the glass ceiling of, like, I can't.
Everybody
even,
else's mentality.
I can't even enjoy. Yeah. Because I'm in the fishbowl. Yeah. I can't even enjoy it. Yeah. I ride up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't own it. It's not your hood if you don't own it. I'm like, I own a piece of this motherfucker now. I can't ride around and enjoy myself. And this is before I had a child. I'm thinking differently. I can't even enjoy myself because I'm thinking about what the next person will try to do to me.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I still got the heart. Like, I'm hired. Like, I haven't hired a person yet without a criminal record in that industry. Everybody got a criminal record.
In the car shop.
Yep. Everybody got a criminal record. Everybody done been in jail for something. Even I don't care if it's child support. I'm trying to get you out of that.
Yeah. So with that being said, how intense, without saying too much, what kind of interview approach are you taking to your people in your neighborhood who typically go into interviews with a wall up because they already know what's coming?
Conversation.
On some regular shit.
So
you're not in there with the notebook and the computer up and with the tie on, you know what I'm saying? You look like them, you talk like them, you feel like them.
And I wear this hat in my shop every day. Make the hood great again. Now, granted, where we move to now, and then, you know, kind of put more perspective into this. This is one of my biggest mistakes in business because when the grocery store thing started happening, I was leaving the car business. I didn't want to do it no more.
Okay.
But I got partners, and I handled that so wrong.
Unprofessional, yeah.
Just wrong. And we family, like, we blood related. You know what I'm saying? My partner, we cousins and shit. And I just was like, y'all do that, I'm going to do this.
Right.
This store finna be open. And when Roblox started coming, everything started getting in my way. Shit didn't open.
Right.
Now I done left them hanging. Now they struggling. And I'm like, that shit wasn't right. In reality, we could have kept doing this. Absolutely. Turned a new corner. Made it about the community. Still, we still going to make money. But we still could have had this same. We was already doing it, but now let's make it public. We hiring niggas that don't got a chance. People who got a skill that just won't have an outlet. We are already doing that.
Yeah.
Let's make this something. And this is my opportunity to make it right. We in a new building. We bought a new building. Sold the old spot. We in a bigger space. Now we can really cook in here. Now I'm making it right. Now everything is starting to work again. My karma really had caught up with me on that. I was too stubborn to just admit it. And I couldn't admit it. Like, I shouldn't have left my fam hanging like that. I didn't get nobody fired or nothing like that. We bosses, but I put them in. They had kids before me.
Right.
And I put them in a tight spot because I'm going to do this grocery store thing. I expect you to respect that and understand, and I was wrong.
And you ain't respect them enough to be like,
not one bit.
Right.
And then I didn't think I was doing nothing wrong, though. I didn't think I was doing nothing.
Because your vision of what you had planned, you
instead
felt
of,
like.
Instead of us saying, we already planted this seed and it's a tree, keep it and let's do this over here, because I was expecting them to come with me. And they like, nah, nigga, fuck you. You straight. You left. And I'm like, I got it now. It took me to get my head bumped a little bit to be like,
sure.
I understand. I shouldn't have never did that. But going back to the question, aside from the skill, like, you know, you ask preliminary shit to make sure they know the job. But where your head at? You know what I'm saying? Because we know if I was a Chaldean owner, you'll probably have your different situation.
For sure.
You'll feel different. But for I'm sure. a black guy. Do you feel it? That's what I'm really trying to feel. How you feel about working with your own?
Because we got a mentality where you don't want to.
Yeah.
You got a mentality where you want to go to restaurants.
You love it because you could be chill as fuck.
Yeah, and it depends on what level, like you said, where your head is. Because for some of us, we go to restaurants and you're like, dog, this is why I don't come to restaurants where black people work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Or I don't want to work in a room in an environment with a bunch of black people when I'm really on some professional, you know what I'm saying, political type shit because niggas are going to nigga.
Yeah, and I want to make sure where your head at. Do you want to be a master or you want a partner?
Because
we not a, you know, I'm the person paying the bills and all of that. I'm taking the bigger risk, but my goal is to fire you, not in a bad way. I want you to have your own shit one day.
Absolutely.
So where your head at?
Absolutely.
Do you want to just kind of stay here? Because if you good, that's cool. I'm not going to use you too much longer, though. Like, you're going to be here as a means to an
end. So you looking for people who are trying to use you as a stepping stone.
Where are you trying to be in 5-10 years from now? The game is the game. We ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
But where are you going?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm looking for.
Even as the person being interviewed, you don't go in preparing to tell an employer, like, I'm going to be honest, man, about a year and a half.
I'm trying to get the fuck out. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I need that. Yeah. But I need it in a real way, too. Like,
right.
Are you
a genuine, authentic, like
look. Are you bouncing because you're an opportunist in this way? Or, like, I'm just going where I'm going to get a raise.
What's buzzing, yeah.
Or are you saying, I'm just trying to boss up, and this going to be an opportunity for me? Let me know from day one. And I'm with that. If you say, look, I'm trying to do my own shit, I'm the perfect guy for you. Because, again, the opportunity, it's not an opportunity if you're here for 20 years. Like, how am I going to hire somebody else? It's a teenager up the street.
Who really
needs
shit.
He need a job. He going to want an opportunity. I don't need you just taking up space.
So your vision is really longitudinal.
Period.
The vision is very much so. You 30, 40 years old. You probably should have something on the back burner because, like you said, I got a 13-year-old. Who's struggling, listen to his mama, need some focus in school, but he also like cars.
You gotta put the young guy over. You gotta pay it forward. You gotta put him on.
And that's so
as fuck, yeah.
It's crazy because one of my questions was, how do these businesses impact the city? Aside from giving them somewhere to take their shit to get fixed, aside from giving them bodega to go get some healthy food, now you at a point where you're really in like a system. And the system, because I'm thinking like, now we got a 15-year-old who's running tires off of cars up and down the block. Obviously, you good with your hands. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know how to take a tire off a car. Let me pay you the right way for it.
Yeah.
Is there like a recruitment element to this too? Or are you just kind of waiting for people to come your way and you just kind of weed them out?
A combination of both. Us being there or us being out here is enough. So you get that influx of interest. People coming around and they like, ooh. People coming around and they like, I want a job or, you know, can I get some opportunity or whatever the case may be. And that's just, it's organic. It comes. We send out the fillers too. And it's a hard process, you know what I'm saying, because you don't really know who's going to be in front of you until they come.
Right.
When they come, they come. So it's a combination of what you just said, both of them. You know, we send it out. We send the fillers out. They come out. In that way, or they actually, you know, reach out and say, you know, is it an opportunity, is it whatever.
Right.
And again, that's when we start picking in their brain and seeing where you at? Where you at with it? Do you know, are you comfortable? Are you going to leave me hanging because you don't want to see another black man doing something good? Do you understand what I'm really trying to do with you? And I got to be upfront and transparent. Like, you know, I don't really want an employee. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't want you working for me.
As 30 years.
I want you working with me.
Right.
Get me to another zenith, and we're going to get you to one.
It's crazy. That's like the wave that a lot of our peer group is on right now in the city, man, where it's just like, yo. Because I tell niggas, the people who fuck with me doing this, I tell them, I said, listen, bro, by no means do you work for me. Mm-hmm. Like you said, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. Who do I need to connect you with? Who do I know that you've been watching, that you want to talk to? You know what I'm saying? How can what you do for me be elevate you? You know what I'm saying? Put your name on everything. Put your logo on everything. Put your Instagram on everything. So when I post my shit, I'm tagging everybody.
Yeah.
I'm giving it credit to because I don't know how to work cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I've freestyled a lot of this shit from episode one, and we just learn and get better as we go. And I think it's dope right now where the city is for that 25 to 30-ish range of people because we own that. We not on no come work for me all your life. I own all these niggas. Mm-hmm. We really on some, like, you do something that I don't do, but I need that.
Yeah. And you got to understand that, too, though, because I think the consequence of us pushing ownership, entrepreneurship, boss, and that was one of my hypercritical issues with, like, a message from, like, Dame Dash or something like that, right, where it's, like,
layers of bosses.
It's just boss, but it's like, fuck the man who's the employee. It's like, even though you're independent, you still have to understand that you have to answer to somebody.
Right.
To some level. Even if you at the top.
You still got to talk to IRS.
You still got to talk to Uncle Sam.
Like, your first, get them zoning laws and shit, like,
and
you
your
said.
First boss is always your customer anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
So to put this message out that, you know, it sucked to be an employee, we all employees to
somebody. At the end of the day.
Somebody, true. You work for somebody. Whether you own the shop or not, you work for somebody. And the more you understand that, the better that message don't get so fucked up like how that one was, where it was like, you know, you work for somebody.
Yeah, because I get what he was saying. But
it was a bad feel, but
yeah.
We got to understand that, too. And I, like, people, like, I don't think he get that. You feel me? I don't think he get that, that vibe. So, looking at it from that perspective, I'm like, that's one of the skills I had to acquire and pick up. How do we end up, you know, training people and retraining people to understand, like, yeah, you your own man, but you still in a house that's ran by this shit here. But we going to get you your own house. And then you just you know what I'm saying? You just recycle that
flip
message.
It, learn that process.
Yeah, you just, yeah.
And speaking of message, we got the book.
Yeah.
Make the Hood Great Again. What's the content? Is this a manual? Is this a your story? Is this like some inspirational quotes? Or what's the content of this book? When people buy this book and read it, what can they look forward to?
It's a manual. And this whole this grocery store process, I got opened up to community development.
Okay.
I got opened up to, I'm just thinking I'm opening a store.
You're going to go out there. Right.
I started seeing the sinister sides of government, people, the food industry. Like, I seen the monopoly.
Yeah.
I seen the Chaldean mob and all that. And I'm like, this is bigger than that.
Did you know about, like, zoning and the inspection? I mean, you had some idea of the inspections, but the zoning and all of these rules. Did you have an idea about that before you went into something that included food?
No, I knew about zoning and all that stuff from just a general
neighborhood
perspective.
Right.
But the food business and so the food intense. Industry yeah. is totally different.
Yeah, super
and
intense.
I think all food entrepreneurs, especially in Detroit, and again, take it beyond Detroit, any major urban city, it's intentional to make it hard. Like, the laws and the ordinances and the zoning complications of the typical food entrepreneur in the city versus the burbs is just astronomically different. You know, you run into it's so many things that you can fuck up and do wrong, and it
absolutely
destroy you.
And that's why a lot of our businesses, aside from the way the society and government started to shift, we didn't know a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as our the people who came before us, our parents and uncles, and you read about Black Bottom and the Lower East Side, and you know what I'm saying? We have the heart, we have the grit, we have the people, but there comes a point where you have to know what the fuck is happening around you, what's about to come your way. Like, what's so sweet about what you're doing? And let me go on record, I want everybody, I'm a fan. You know what I'm saying? When I saw this, when I read about this, like I said, I brought it to the show, to the episode. They didn't know shit about it.
That shit really lit me up.
I sent the link to the shit.
That shit really hyped.
And I'm like, yo, this is some sweet shit. And to see that you're not 60 years old doing this shit, to see that you're not in a suit and tie.
It's a young nigga.
You and this bitch in a white tee and a cap on, looking like any nigga at the gas station. And it's like, yo, I don't have to have this much money saved up. I don't have to have this many degrees. I don't have to have a wife and three kids and a dog before I go do this shit. It's really like, yo, you doing it. I like it. Let me DM you. Mm-hmm. How can I help? And that's how you got on the show. It was simply like, yo, I fuck with what you're doing. I came across this article. We just talked about you on episode 32, I think. What can we do to get you on the show? And off bail, you was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like I said, that's where I see the city going. Your name is popping up more and more. I know you mentioned something about not having a following. Your shit popping up left and right.
And I do that because in... I'm gonna pat myself on the back. I hate doing it, but I am. Like, this is my third book. My first book, probably the realest shit I had ever written. It was critically acclaimed to the point of like, that's my Reasonable Doubt.
Was my I was first. About to say it's like a rapper's first album. It's my all you.
That was my ill man.
Super pure, first. Absolutely.
I was
your good kid, Mad City.
I was a year removed from the trap when I wrote How to Hustle. That's my first book.
Okay.
My second book. Directly got inspired by, you know, Jay-Z's 444. The J-Bo character is on the cover. Then I found out I was having a baby. That was just the rest of the gas
boom,
I needed.
Boom, boom, boom. I feel it.
And
what's that second book called?
Wealth. Called Wealth. It's a
personal How to Hustle.
How to Hustle Entrepreneurship Wealth. Manual. Wealth is a personal finance, financial literacy guidebook spoken in our language.
Yep.
And then this one, Bought It Full Circle. This is my first number one bestseller.
And it's a combination of the two.
It's combination of the two and community development overall.
Okay.
So I get into like glossing over. Because in my opinion, economic development ain't the first step in the hood. If we want to build a hood, it's not economic development. It's legal, political reform.
Okay.
We need a political reform.
Very fucking true.
Yeah.
I don't care how much money we make. If we going up against that, we'll never have the access we need still.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So legal reform is really our first step, or it needs to be 1A, 1B, economic and political, instead of just saying, we just need money, we good. No, it's a combination of the first two books plus all of the other experiences that I've had just with this one experience at the grocery store.
And you learned all this on the go?
All this on
trial and error.
And asking questions. Yep. And being a nice guy and getting people to tell me, like, what you doing is cool, but you know you're going to run into this.
Right.
And it's not, you know, and we are, especially in this world, whether it's P or whatever, we going to get the people who have never done it, and they telling you what you need
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
I get a lot of that, but I have definitely got, hey, little nigga, come here.
For sure.
And they know what they talking about. They like, you going about it the wrong way because you don't know what's on the other side of that wall.
Translation, this is how I fucked up.
Or I'm in this role that I really want to change this shit, but I can't.
So I got this position.
And if I could help you, I would, but I can't, but I'm going to only give you the information. If you go about it this way, you ain't going to win.
Because
we're not seeing a lot of legal rambling. We don't see none of that. We just see... We see this build, I'm going to go buy it, and I'm going to turn it into whatever. So this book right here is just that perspective of, if we really want to make the hood great, this is the real steps. Like, get out of the clouds.
Get your hands dirty.
Get strategic. Learn some shit, and this is what we really need to do.
We got to get out of here. Raphael Wright. 30 years old, East Side native, Detroit native, Make the Hood Great Again, The Hat, The Book, Wealth, How to Hustle, Mary Grove Product. TGTheHost.com, the People's Choice Podcast is wherever you listen to your shit. Subscribe to the website, subscribe to my YouTube. Just search TG The Host any and everywhere, and we there. The Wash Hoodie sold out in 39 minutes. I'm going to bring y'all some more soon. And we don't see too often... I see you in the timeline. I see the pictures. How can people get to you? Where can they see you? How can they find? They want to see you in person. Where do they go? They want to hit you on the internet. Where do they go?
I got some shit coming in a couple of weeks. Got a book signing and pop up. I'll be distributing that information on my social media. So Instagram and Twitter is at @Pharaoh_Rafa. That's @Pharaoh_Rafa. RaphaWright.com is my website. If you want to look into the grocery store initiative and campaign there, that's at Neighborhood Grocery on Instagram. I got a bunch of links and articles and whatever there. I'm super transparent with that. Go over there. Eventually, we want to get to equity crowdfunding to make this community owned 100%.
Okay. So, by the people who live in a regular crib.
Everybody. It'll be available to everybody, whether you got a bag or you got a few dollars. If you want to get in, can and get some equity. So be on the lookout for that. My book is a number one Amazon bestseller right now. Make the Hood Great Again is available right now at makethehoodgreatagain.shop. You know, I also find my hat collection there as well.
We about the whole credit run of all your
the whole nine. We on the east
12
side
handles,
right.
Three we on, neighborhoods.
We on the east side right now, Charmin Charlotte Boy Auto Services. We own that. That's ours. Come through, get some game there too. Be on the lookout for the Lynn Glen Bodega on Linwood and Glendale. That's a city area, no neighborhood.
West
grocery.
Side, yep.
On the west side, just tap in my DM, hit my email, hit my.
Hey, he responds to the DM, man. I'm trying to tell you, that's why he's here.
Yeah, no weird shit. But if you talking something constructive and you know, it is show. So,
yeah,
let's do it. Let's do it.
Now you got this 18-month-old daughter. And you work full time, there's got to be an element of wash somewhere in you.
Every day. Every day.
Get up, go to work, come home, change diapers, make bottles, and we out of here.
Every day. My week ain't right.
We got to get you. Right. Yeah. You definitely. Yeah, we're going to have to throw you something. We're going to get your size and the color and all that shit. We're going to get you a couple on for sure.
Let's do it.
Get the good wash, good, the collab on deck.
Let's do it.
You might as well get like a laundromat coming up too. We go wash all the shit in house. Let's get a dry cleaner. Let's do something.
All, let's do it all.
Come on, man. Let's make it happen. Look, hey, like I said, this is the People's Choice Podcast. Raphael Wright, he gave you everything. I'm not going to repeat none of that shit because I forgot it all that fast. But we're going to make sure everything's in the credits, man. Neighborhood Groceries on deck. They on the east side fixing cars, man. Wolf, you good?
Yes, sir.
You good, Ra?
I'm good.
Everybody straight. Zach, we straight. Hey, man, TJHost.com. We'll see you later. We out of here.
Yeah.